If you would, please turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 55. Psalm 55. We'll just be considering a few thoughts before we come down to pray today. So I would like to begin reading in verse 16, and we'll read down to the end of the verse. And we'll be focusing in on verse 22 today. So, Psalm 55, verse 16. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning, and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many with me. God shall hear and afflict them, even he that abideth of old, Selah. Because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. He hath put forth his hands against such as be at peace with him. He hath broken his covenant. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet were they drawn swords. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. But thou, O God, shalt bring them down into the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in thee. With God's word open before us, let's all pray. Our dear Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for bringing us here to this time of prayer. Lord, I pray that you would bless the time that is before us, bless the word that you've brought today. Lord, I pray that you would help me as I speak it. Lord, I pray that it would be a blessing to each one of us. Lord, I pray that you would help us to seek you and to lay out our burdens before you and cast them upon you. So, Lord, I pray that you'd bless us in this time. Help us to love and honor you. Pray this in my Son's holy and precious name. Amen. King David was certainly a person very familiar with adverse circumstances. From his time with defeating Goliath, when his brothers and King Saul and virtually the entire Israelite army doubted his ability to do so, and then all the way to running from Saul and living as an outlaw, David frequently experienced very difficult circumstances. And so here we find another one of those times in this psalm. Now, although we cannot say definitively, this psalm most likely refers to the events surrounding Absalom's takeover of David's throne. In verses 12 through 14, if you'll scan down to there, we read, "For it was not an enemy that reproached me, then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me, then I would have hidden myself from him. But it was thou, a man mine equal, my guide, and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked unto the house of God in company." Then look down at verse 21. "The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet were they drawn swords." And so the person David is referring to is likely Ahithophel, David's counselor and friend, who eventually sided with Absalom in betraying David. In Psalms and 2 Samuel 15, 30 through 31, we read, "And David went up by the ascent of Mount Olivet and wept, as he went up and had his head covered, and he went barefoot, and all the people that was with him covered every man his head, and they went up weeping as they went up. And one told David, saying, Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom. And David said, O Lord, I pray thee, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness." Ahithophel was his counselor, someone David trusted, his friend, and Ahithophel betrayed him. And all of this weighs down upon David. In verses 4 and 5 of the psalm, we read him saying, "My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me." And so David cries to the Lord for help. Verse 16, he says, "As for me, I'll call upon God, and the Lord shall save me." He brings this burden before the Lord and does what he urges all others to do, including us, in verse 22, which is where I would like to focus on today. He urges all of us and all of his readers to cast thy burden upon the Lord. We all face similar circumstances in our lives. Although we might not be betrayed by our closest friend and lose a kingdom, we all still bear burdens, some that are somewhat similar, things that press down upon us, and may make us feel like David was in this circumstance, potentially fearful, hurt, and overwhelmed. But as David cast his burdens upon the Lord, so must we do the same. David found a strength in that, in bringing and casting his burden before the Lord. And so today I would like to preach on just that, on casting our burdens upon the Lord, casting our burdens upon the Lord. And firstly, I would like us to see the burdens we bear, the burdens we bear. So a burden obviously is a pressing desire emotionally or spiritually for something to occur. And it may take the form of a burden of like hurt, like what David was experiencing. And I'd just like to go through a few burdens that each of us might bear in our lives. And so the first one is could be one that what is similar to what David was experiencing. And so in our lives, every single one of us will, odds are, be disappointed by someone. Hopefully we won't be betrayed to the extent that David was, but it is inevitable in this life to avoid getting hurt. People may break their promises or say hurtful things, and we may be burdened by that hurt, such that we desire the wrong to be righted, whether by repentance and forgiveness or by justice being served to them. Obviously, David was pleading for this against his enemies, two people that were definitely unsaved. And so he's crying to the Lord for justice. And we might be in that same circumstance of being hurt. But another burden is that we may also be on the other side of that circumstance, where we are the one who has done the wrong and have broken our promises or said hurtful things and are thus burdened by guilt. So this burden of guilt, one might think, is one of the weightiest burdens one can bear. I mean, we've all felt that burden of guilt at one time in our lives, and we know it's oppressiveness. And so for anyone with that burden, the desire is to get that burden off of our backs. The unbeliever's approach to dealing with guilt is to silence it by convincing themselves that they really did nothing wrong. And so their conscience that is telling them that they did something wrong is nothing more than a social construct. But the way that God ordained to answer guilt is to seek forgiveness and to repent. But one burden that sits even heavier than any other is the burden of love. The two greatest commandments are love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Matthew 22:37-31. And so love, then, should be one of the greatest motivators in our lives. And when we see those we love being wronged or in danger, we should feel that burden of love. When we see people wronging our Savior and blaspheming His name in the world, when we see people cursing God and transgressing His law, we should be burdened by that and should desire that to stop, either by them repenting or by them being brought to defeat, as David prayed that they would. And also, our love for our neighbors should burden us. When we see those around us walking down the road to hell, heading straight for a lost eternity without hope, this should greatly burden us. But one final burden I would like to consider is what I'd like to consider the burden of emptiness. It's the burden where we've gotten to a point and we feel empty and have maybe no burdens at all. The burdens, it's where the burdens that you had for the lost, for potentially even your life and for God's people are just gone. What used to be there is nothing but a void. And as you look out at the lost and everything else, there's no love, no desire to see souls saved. I mean, I confess I've been there. I mean, we have all been there at one point where we look out at a crowd And instead of being moved with compassion as Christ was, we feel nothing. And that in itself can be a burden. That burden of not feeling, that notice that something here is not right. And that burden brings us to God. If you look back at the passage we read in verse 22, the word for burden, it refers to the providential aspect of it. Some would translate that word burden as what is given or a gift. And so with all of the burdens that we may face in our lives, we must remember who placed those burdens there. Any burden that we face in our lives is, as it were, God drawing us closer to Him and urging each and every one of us to cast our burdens upon Him. And that is what our burdens are there for. God's purpose in placing the burden of Paul, where he speaks of in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, of the thorn of the flesh. He says, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." When we feel the weight of our burdens, we also feel our own inadequacy to bear them ourselves, and are therefore moved to cast them upon the Lord. And so this is the solution to our burdens, bringing them, casting them upon the Lord. So secondly, I would like to look at the solution to our burdens. The thing that we also so often forget is that this is where the solution lies to our burdens. And instead of casting our burdens upon the Lord, we act as if we are supposed to bear our burdens ourselves, as if we have to solve everything ourselves. But what we have to remember is that God is working all things after the counsel of His will. And we have to cast our burdens upon the Lord, which means understanding that God will deal with those burdens. It means getting the burdens we cannot bear and placing them upon the shoulders that can and do bear them and leaving them there. But so often what we do is we pick those burdens back up and as it were, place them on our shoulders as if we bear them ourselves. And this can be very easy to do sometimes, and it can be almost imperceptible. But one of the primary symptoms of not casting our burdens upon the Lord is sometimes worry. We worry that things won't turn out right and that we won't be able to handle what will come. It's like you're in a car driving along a cliffside road. You're in the passenger seat and you're looking over the edge, wondering if the person driving will keep you on the road. And if you place yourself in that scenario, what we often do when dealing with our burdens is fix our eyes on that ledge and what's below it, instead of keeping our eyes fixed upon the one that is driving. God is the one that is directing our lives. And God has placed each of the burdens that we face into our lives for a purpose. Although we cannot always determine what that purpose is exactly, we know that a part of His purpose is always drawing us closer to Him. And so we have to keep our eyes on Christ and remember who He is and that He is in control. That even if we may not be able to see the end of the road where there is safety, God is still working all things for His glory and our good. He is always working, and we rest in His sovereign hands and are never on our own. We can always pray to Him and bring our burdens upon Him. We can always pray to Him and in faith cast our burdens upon Him. If that burden is one of hurt, the prayer is that God would heal and that God would make things right. If it is a burden of guilt, the prayer is, Lord, forgive and give the strength to fight against sin. If it is a burden of love, we pray that God would cause wickedness to cease and cause repentance in the heart of the unbeliever. If it is a burden of emptiness, we pray that God would give us a heart for the lost and that He would restore us and bring us closer to Him. Whatever the burden is, we bring it before God and pray that God would answer. Some of these burdens God will resolve almost immediately, but other burdens, they'll stick around. But for the person that casts their burdens upon the Lord, they will not remain as burdens per se. The desire for things to change will still be there. The problem that brought that burden about will still be there. But the weight that the burden is causing is off of our shoulders and where it belongs. This is not to say that we will not experience stress regarding those burdens. Even Christ experienced stress when he was about to be betrayed and crucified. The difference, however, there was that he knew he would be carrying a burden none of us will ever carry. At that point, the sin of his people was laid on him. And at Calvary, that burden was dealt with. The burden of sin we all carried before God saved us was removed from us for as far as the east is from the west. And it is because of Christ's death on the cross that we can even bring our burdens in prayer before God. But we aren't left without any responsibility, where we can just sit back and relax, knowing that God will take care of everything. We still have a burden to bear. As Matthew 11:28-30 says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest on your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." We still have a burden to bear, but it's a light one. And it will be one that God will give us the strength to bear. And this is the promise we are given in Psalm 55:22. "He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." This is the promise that God gives here. And so finally, I would like to look at the promise that God gives. The promise God gives. And the thing to remember about all of God's promises is that they will never fail. That means no matter what we may be facing, if we cast our burdens upon the Lord, He will sustain us. Even though the prospects of that, the problem that is bringing the burden about, look bleak, God will give us the strength to press on, even in the midst of it. God might not answer our prayers at the desire of change causing the burden immediately, but He will give us the strength to persevere until He does answer our prayers. He will give us the strength to keep on casting, to keep on praying, and to do whatever He calls us to. If He has called us to preach to the lost on the streets, even though we may be fearful, He will sustain us. If He places us in adverse circumstances, as David often was, He will sustain us. If He has us praying for and witnessing to the lost in our own sphere of influence, He will sustain us. And we will have exactly what we need to endure for the Lord, for the Lord shall strengthen us. As the often misapplied verse in Philippians says, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." And so let us all cast our burdens upon the Lord, whatever they are. We can know that no matter how small any burden is, we can come before the God of the universe. No matter how small, no matter what they are, we can bring them before an infinite God, and He will hear us. And there is tremendous strength found in Christ for those who do cast their burdens upon Him. And so may each one of us find that unshakable foundation, which is Christ the Lord, upon whom we may rest and lay our burdens. And so let us keep this in mind, that we must cast our burdens upon the Lord and bring them before the Lord. So let us keep that in mind as we pray. And I will sing one last hymn before we come to pray.